The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to another episode of Negotiate Anything. Thanks for spending time with us today. It's listeners like you in 181 different countries that have made Negotiate Anything the most popular negotiation and conflict resolution podcast in the world. I'm your host, Kwame Christian. I'm a business lawyer, mediator, professor, and the director of the American Negotiation Institute. Before we get started, I have two quick questions for you. Is negotiation a critical part of what you do? Do you need to resolve conflict and persuade at work? If you answered yes to both of those questions, visit our website to learn more about our negotiation workshops. We've traveled the country working with professionals just like you, and we'd love to have the opportunity to work with you too. Check out the link in the description to learn more.
Anuj, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Kwame. I think it's a huge privilege for me and honor to join your podcast. The way I have actually seen all the different podcasts on your on the list, the topics are stimulating. It is amazing the work you're doing, Kwame. I really appreciate all that, and I'm glad to be part of this.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. So how about you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Absolutely. So I'm actually a finance professional. So by my profession and education, I'm a chartered accountant from India and a CPA here. But then life took me in a total different journey about 7 or 8 years ago when I actually got into my MBA program, the UCLA-NUS joint executive program. And that totally changed my vision of life and the way I actually was looking at life. But then the one key factor that was life-changing and a turning point was the interest in negotiation. And I'm sure you understand how that interest in negotiation is great for anybody who actually picks it up. So during my MBA program, I first had a module on leadership and influencing. And then the influencing bit stuck in the back of my head for quite some time during the program. And then down the line, I had the actual negotiation module, the class on negotiation. And that's it. That was something that made me realize this is my topic. And that was my my topic of calling, which I would say. I then started researching into the topic, started building content that I could share with the team. I did a first couple of immediate team sessions on negotiation. This was about 5 years ago. And people loved it. So you see how important this topic of negotiation is, because the moment I shared just some basic content with them, people were stimulated by that. And I started researching deeper and deeper and deeper into the topic. I joined the Harvard program on negotiation and then got the certification program. And then it was amazing how I could just observe every conversation and pick something that was negotiation related in that conversation. So this is what happened over the last 4-5 years, 5+ years now. But 3.5 to 4 years down that journey, I actually started thinking about writing my book. So the journey since writing the book has been amazing.
That's fantastic. This is really exciting because I had a similar experience in law school. I didn't know much about negotiation. My undergrad was in psychology, and I just stumbled upon the class, and it changed the way that I saw the world. And so for you, what was it about the topic of negotiation that really, really drew you in?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kwame. So what happened in my life is I could actually see, until I joined the negotiation class, I could actually see that I had no clue what negotiation meant. Coming from India, even being a chartered accountant and a bachelor's in business, we had never studied structured negotiation. All negotiation that we pick up is from maybe observing family members, maybe observing parents who are in business, let's say, hopefully, and they are negotiating on a regular basis. But other than that, we hardly negotiate or we hardly learn structured negotiation, right? So I feel that for the first significant part of my career, I was lacking that knowledge on negotiation, the structured negotiation, to the extent that I have been called out for not being a great negotiator. This was like 7 years ago when I said, okay, now I have to change that. So for me, the turning point was as soon as I got into that program in my MBA, and then that negotiation class, that actually changed it for me. And I realized that if I have to improve myself, I first have to go deeper into the topic, but then I don't want to stop there. I want to start adding value to people who actually are in the same boat as me. Maybe they have never had negotiation, any class on negotiation or any learning on negotiation. And I don't want them to be in that same boat where they are failing in negotiation over and over again, to the extent that I think we should teach negotiation to even teenage kids and young professionals and youth. And that is what led me to write my second book, which of course we'll discuss about. And my mission right now is to teach kids negotiation early in their life so that they can succeed over their career and life.
This is great. And there are a few gems in here that I want to pull out, because you were already a successful professional. And so if I'm remembering right now on the resume, it's KPMG, PricewaterhouseCooper, Visa, and Google, right? So I think that's a pretty decent resume, right?
I would think so too.
And so you recognize, though, that even though you were already succeeding at a very high level in some of the world's premier companies, you recognize that there was something missing.
Right.
And you were able to improve that skill. And what I'm seeing with a lot of professionals out here in negotiation is that they're finding it late because it's something that's not taught very much in school. When you think about like high school, undergrad, or even law or business, for me, that was an elective class. I could graduate law school without taking a negotiation course, which is insane, right? And so, but the thing is, right now, you're highly skilled, one of the most respected names in the industry with the negotiation, and you've authored two books. And that demonstrates that this is a skill, not a talent. If you invest into it, you can improve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there are two things there. One is, you put your mind into learning, you can absolutely be a great negotiator. That is for sure. The second, which I highlight in my books and also in various sessions I talk about, is every person has an inherent style, right? What you need to do is understand what that style is for yourself. Be aware of your style. So creating that awareness within yourself is important, because your style could be a huge impact and a huge factor in how you negotiate. And you have to know your style, and you have to know what the other types of styles are in around here in people, because you can develop your strategies by knowing what your style is and what the other person's style is, and then adapting to the situation accordingly.
Absolutely. So let's actually take some time and talk about different negotiation styles and how that could potentially interact with other people's negotiation styles. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure, absolutely. So there are five styles that I have mentioned in my book. So collaborating, competing, compromising, accommodating, and avoiding. So these are styles even in the Thomas Kilman and various sources that have these styles mentioned. And what this means is, if you're in one of the styles, your negotiation strategies will be catered according to the style you're in. For example, for a long time in my life, I have been the accommodating style. What accommodating style does is it focuses more on human relations, on the EQ factor, not the IQ factor. Maybe the emotional intelligence is huge for a person of accommodating style. And I have realized that I leave value on the table because I'm the accommodating style. I don't want to hurt the other person, or I don't want to end up in a situation where the other person feels bad. So that kind of feeling comes to me whenever I negotiate. And that was the first few years of my life, right? And once I understood that I can actually tweak my accommodating dating style a little bit to become the collaborating style. I would not like to go to the extent of competing style, because that in itself, I think the competing style could probably go wrong. But collaborating style is probably where I want to end up. So from accommodating, maybe if I even make a little bit of tweaks and get closer to the collaborating style, and collaborating style is where you get to the win-win for everybody. So you grow the pie. And if I can get to that, I think I will get a much better result of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes sense. And what we're recognizing, especially when you think about emotional intelligence in general, self-awareness is always the first step. And then when it comes to being an effective negotiator, we're talking about self-awareness. Where are you right now? We all have our natural tendencies. It's a blend of nature and nurture, of course. But once you understand who you are, you can lean into that and use those natural strengths more intentionally. And then at the same time, recognize when you're getting into a portion of the conversation where, hey, this isn't my natural strength. So I need to use a little bit more focus, a little bit more energy, and adjust my natural tendencies just a little bit in this moment to be more effective.
Absolutely. And then the other point that I would like to add is you will always have your inherent, your dominating style. So my accommodating style probably will never go away, right? I need to start reducing the impact of the dominating style and bringing in the couple of other styles that are valuable. Every situation demands a certain kind of style. So if I can be the person who is primarily dominating accommodating style, but then I can maybe bring in collaborating style or compromising style as and when required, that is where I will get the most effective results.
100%.
Hi, I'm Catherine Konapke, and I'm the Chief Operating Officer here at the American Negotiation Institute. Did you know our company offers completely customizable negotiation workshops? The negotiation and conflict resolution skills that your team will learn from these workshops are beneficial across all professions, but they're especially useful in procurement, purchasing, sales, sourcing, and contract management. Our calendar is filling up quickly, and we even have some workshops scheduled for next year. If you think you might want one, I'd suggest reaching out soon so you don't miss out. Check out the link in the description to learn more. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube, LinkedIn, and Instagram accounts to see our daily negotiation content. Thanks for listening.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life, a promise that pays off. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
Hi, I'm Tomer Korn, LinkedIn's Chief Product Officer. On my podcast, Building One, we dive deep into what it takes to build great products. Recently, we had Zach Perret, the CEO of Plaid, and he shared about his struggles building a financial app for consumers and how he was able to turn it all around with a critical pivot. Take a listen.
I personally couldn't resonate as much with the consumer set that we were trying to reach. I just didn't have that level of empathy. When we made the shift to building a B2B product, though, I was building the product that I wanted. My co-founder and I were creating the product that we wanted ourselves, and we had so much empathy for what that product was.
Such a great insight.
You know, in that sense, we got lucky because we were creating a thing for ourselves. And then the people that we were talking to also had the same problems we did. They were fintech developers. We'd been a fintech developer. We'd been trying to build a fintech product for a year. And so we had such deep empathy. We had such a clear ability to...
If you want to hear more of Zach Perret's story and the lessons that follow, listen and subscribe to my podcast, Building One.
And then for a lot of our listeners out there, we might have people, for instance, who are in the field of procurement, who have to negotiate big contracts, sometimes 8-9-figure deals. And they do that in a team scenario. And so one of the things we talk about is managing team dynamics. And if you understand what type of negotiation style you have, and at the same time, the negotiation styles of the people on your team, now you can put the right people in the right position to talk at the right time during the negotiation as well.
Absolutely. Very well said.
Fantastic. And so now something that was interesting to me was the name of your first book, And so tell us about the name, mainly because I want to make sure that people remember it so they can buy it. And what inspired you to choose that name?
So, yeah, that's a great question. So I have done a lot of studying on IQ and EQ. So it has been a significant part of my research in while I was writing negotiation, but also on negotiation, but also while I'm teaching, right? So EQ, IQ and EQ have been a huge part of my learning. But then as you dig down deeper into this topic, there's also something called AQ, which is the adversity quotient, right? When you end up in difficult situations, how do you deal with those situations? And I've seen a couple of topics on your podcast list, which are amazing. I mean, they deal with difficult conversations and conflict management and all that. Those are great topics. So adversity quotient also, and I was introduced to AQ during my MBA program, of course, by one of my professors. So AQ also was quite high in my radar in terms of something I want to focus on. And I said, with all these different terms that we have, I think there is a direct link to how your negotiation depends on each of these. So you, of course, you need IQ, you need EQ, right? And you need the AQ, you need all of these. So I combine all of them to make it into your negotiation quotient, your NQ, if you will, right? Your negotiation quotient, which is a mix of all these different factors.
That's fantastic. It's so brilliant. I really appreciate that. And, you know, to be honest, the adversity quotient, I had never heard that term, you know?
Oh,
and
okay.
That's new to me. So I'm here learning a lot.
I'm glad. Yeah.
This is great. Yeah. And listeners, what we're recognizing is this. One of my favorite things about hosting this show is that I'm like a kid in a candy shop. I just get to learn from smart people all the time. And there's no end to how much you can know about this topic. No end. And the more that you can learn about the topic, the better you will be when it comes to building the right tools to use at the right times. And so I strongly suggest for everybody that they go out and check out this book because it approaches negotiation in a completely different way.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I promise that you will have a lot of new insights and tidbits and learnings from the book because there are a couple of frameworks that I developed and they absolutely help you prepare the best you can when you walk into a negotiation. So those frameworks might come in really handy. And what I have done is like a huge mix, a blend of the science of negotiation and the art of negotiation. And that blend by itself is highly effective in getting you through a difficult negotiation and making it more successful.
That's great. I love it. And with the time we have left, I want to talk about your second book too. So tell the listeners about that and what really motivated you to write that one.
Great. Yeah, this is the topic of my keen, at least the second book is something that I have been thinking about from the day I published my first book. This was in my mind. And the reason, like I said earlier, is we all learn negotiation, not all, but maybe most of us, at a later stage in our life. By that time, and this is from my example, right? And I'm assuming it is quite a common case around the world because whenever I teach negotiation in my class and I ask, the first question I ask is, how many of you have learned or studied or read negotiation early in your life, right? And up until that class, some of them, right? Some of them are like middle-aged. So how many of you have learned negotiation? I get 1 in 20 hands up. So that actually proves that people don't learn negotiation early in their life. Now, if you are not learning the effective and structured negotiation, you're obviously going to leave a lot of value on the table, like I did, right? And I would like to start teaching kids early in their life, right from being a teenager, because up and until, I would say, about 8 years of your life, you are negotiating, but you're negotiating emotionally, right? You negotiate with your parents. You know that the parents will at some point give in. You use that emotional factor to negotiate. That age of 8 is called the age of reasoning. And basically that at that age is when a kid starts learning how to rationalize, how to make decisions based on understanding concepts and so on. So from then on, they can actually make decisions after analyzing situations. Now, giving them about 2 or 3 years to settle down in that analyzing mode, I thought maybe around 12 years is where they should actually start learning negotiation, a structured negotiation approach to how you deal with situations, right? And from then on, my goal is not only to teach and give back to the community in terms of teaching kids early in their life, but also the first step would be to create awareness of the topic. So the kids don't need to immediately learn negotiation at 12, right? But they should at least know what it means. They should at least know what it can do to you if you learn proper negotiation. So from about 12 to maybe I would say 15, they should at least be introduced to the topic and they should at least know what it means. But from 15, it is absolutely critical that you learn proper negotiation. And that's the age where you are actually negotiating maybe with your teachers or your classmates. There are several of those situations where you are negotiating and they absolutely need to learn structured negotiation and some strategies on negotiation so that they can start using those, applying them early in their life and get better at it over their course of their life. So since I realized that it was something that I had missed in my life, I thought, why not write the book and also start teaching? So I also teach kids and young adults negotiation, but the book I think is a good companion for anybody who wants to learn negotiation and grow on it.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I was, as you were saying this, it made me understand my son Kai a little bit better. I'm like, age of reason, he's not there yet, he's 5. This makes a lot of sense. Yeah, this is great, and I think this would be a great resource for parents out there too, because the listeners of the show, they have an appreciation for the value of negotiation, and if they right. have kids, then I think this is one of those, the few, I can't think of another negotiation book for children that exists out there. You might have some emotional intelligence type of books, some how to communicate clearly type of books, but not something that addresses it from the negotiation side, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah. And I didn't see during my research, I didn't see any books. I would call it the one of its kind in terms of teaching kids and young adults negotiation. Now, going back to your comment on parents, of course, this is a lot of parents have actually come and asked me, why would I teach my kids negotiation in their life and have them negotiate with me? The fact is, and this is for all the parents out there listening, the point is negotiation is best when it is win-win, right? And what I am teaching and introducing to the kids is don't focus on yourself. Make it a win-win. Try to look at what the interests of the other party are, right? Which is hopefully your parents, and then what your interests are, and then come to a situation where both the parents and yourself are happy, right? With the ultimate outcome. And that is what I teach. And parents, of course, stand to benefit from that, because now it's going to be something that will benefit them also in their negotiation. If they have failed so far negotiating with their kids, now it might help them. So this is one of the things I jokingly mentioned to all the parents.
This is fantastic. Well, this is great. Well, before you go, again, remind the listeners again about the names of the two books and then how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So the first one is Negotiation Quotient, and the subtitle is Opening the Door to a Successful Deal. So hopefully it'll be a companion for whoever has it to then start negotiating effectively and opening your door to those successful deals. That's the first one. And then the second one is called We Can Negotiate Too. And the cover page has two little kids shaking hands and negotiating. So it is an absolutely, so far, great tool and resource for kids. I have had great comments from people. I also started a little exercise. I used to give kids who I know bought the book, I used to give them quizzes on negotiation and see if they are grabbing on the concept. And they actually did. So, and my question that I always ask in one of those quizzes is, highlight a situation where you actually used a concept from the book. And I have had very stimulating and interesting examples coming from the kids saying, I use this concept in this situation, which is amazing. So we can negotiate too. And then I am on LinkedIn. I am, I have a website, which is just my first name and last name. So anujjagannathan.com. So I can be reached anywhere in LinkedIn or over my website.
Fantastic. And everybody, we will have links to the books, the website, and Anuj's LinkedIn. So Anuj, my friend, thank you so much for coming and sharing your wisdom with us. We really appreciate it.
It's absolute pleasure. So thank you again so much for American Negotiation Institute and Negotiate Anything podcast. And I wish you all, Kwame and your team, I wish you all great success.
Congratulations, you've just joined an elite club. By listening to a full episode, you're now officially on the Negotiate Anything team. So welcome aboard. What most team members do is they subscribe to the podcast because that allows them to automatically get the latest episodes of the show. The best things in life lie on the other side of difficult conversations. Keep learning, keep practicing, and keep getting better. Your relationships will improve, your career will soar, and you'll have the confidence you need to get the most out of these crucial conversations. Again, thank you for joining the team. We're excited to have you, and I will see you in the next episode. I'll catch you later.